The annual 30 Days of Prayer for the Muslim World is an international movement that began in 1993. Millions of Christians worldwide have participated in concerted prayers for the Muslims during their month of Ramadan. Today, 20 years later, we're eager to take stock, looking expectantly for whether and how God's hand has been moving around the world. 20 years ago, Islam was not a daily news item, nor were most Christians even thinking about reaching Muslims across the street or around the world. Since terrorists in the name of Islam carried out the 9/11 attacks, we're inundated with mostly negative and scary images and sound bites about the Muslim world. But is that the whole story? Today we're visiting with David Garrison. David has served with the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptists for over 25 years as missionary, author, mission strategist, and researcher. He has been instrumental in seeing new work started among dozens of people groups, and he has told the story of some of God's remarkable work around the world in his previously published book, Church Planting Movements. David, over the last few years, we've been hearing encouraging stories about unprecedented numbers of people coming to the Lord, calling themselves Jesus followers. We know that during the last 2 years, you've been traveling to every corner of the Muslim world in an effort, I understand, to substantiate some of these stories. Do we have reason to be encouraged, or is this just a case of isolated anecdotes that have been embellished?
Paul, I've been involved in missions to Muslims since 1987. And at that time, frankly, most Christians had a long history of just tiptoeing around the Muslim world. It was regarded as the last of the giants. It was a fearsome place, and there really wasn't a whole lot to report. Since that time, though, we've seen a lot of things happen, and it's gotten so that today there are so many movements that we're hearing about of Muslims coming to faith in Christ that we began saying, you know, is this unusual? Is this out of the ordinary? And 2 years ago, I began a study, a global study of Muslim movements to Christ. This global study has taken me about 10 times around the world in the last 2 years, interviewing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Muslims who have found Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. What I'm trying to do in my surveys is find out why now, what's going on. And I can tell you this, there is an unprecedented movement of Muslims to Christ today, and it's not localized to one part of the world. It's spread from West Africa all the way to Indonesia and everywhere in between. I don't think there's any question that the prayer of God's people, the fervent prayer of people for Muslims, is having a great impact today.
So is this truly new? Is this unique in our time of what God seems to be doing in the Muslim world?
Well, I wondered that same question. Is this unique, or is it something that really we've seen several times through history? And I'm a church historian by training. So I went back and I looked from the time of Muhammad's death in 632 all the way up to the present. When have we seen Muslim movements to Christ? And the fact is, you have to go from 632 all the way to the late 1800s before you find the first free will movement of Muslims to Christ. We have one in the 19th century. By the end of the 20th century, we've added another nine. Most of those occurring after the 30 days of prayer and fasting emphasis began in the 1980s. Most of those have happened in the last two decades of the 20th century. But now listen to this. End of the 20th century, we've got a total of 10 Muslim movements to Christ. When you come into the 21st century, just those first 13, not even 13 years yet of the 21st century, we add another 64 Muslim movements to Christ. We've never seen anything like it in church history.
David, in your opinion, what is the greatest obstacle preventing Muslims to have an opportunity to really come to understand the good news about Jesus?
Well, that's a great question, Paul. I think still and always the greatest obstacles are not out there among Muslims. They're in here among us within the body of Christ. When we're afraid, when we're angry, or when our fear causes us to be defensive or to take a position of attacking in the same way that Muslims we feel like have attacked Christians and Christianity and the gospel, then what we're doing is we're forfeiting the greatest advantage we have. We have a resurrection faith, a faith that takes on persecution, and even when it's beaten down, it rises again. We've got to summon that strength, that gospel strength within us, to go into the Muslim world, to be willing to go, to love, to listen, to share unapologetically the good news of Jesus Christ, and then be willing to endure what happens from that so that more and more Muslims can come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord.
We're living in an internationalized, globalized world, and so many Muslims are actually coming to our shores, and many Christians are worried about it sometimes. Do you think that God's hand is involved in this?
You know, I believe so. I think there's a lot of Christians who, rather than go and fulfill the Great Commission, they said, I think I'll stay home and pray for the Great Commission. And God said, I want you to be a part of it, so I'm going to bring the Great Commission to you. Now, we do have the freedom and the options here in the West to stay in our little neighborhoods, our suburbs, our cloistered communities, and not reach cross-culturally into these neighborhoods of people who are new immigrants. But I pray that we won't do that, because those who have come to Christ are telling us, what you Christians didn't realize was that we Muslims, we're lost. And inside, even though we seem confident and we seem self-assured, inside we're empty.
I understand that you're actually working on a book.
Well, Paul, I am working on a book. I feel an obligation after hearing all these stories, now more than 1,000 interviews of Muslims from movements. I feel an obligation to share this back with the body of Christ, so I'm anxious to do this. And I think it was this surprise of hearing again and again these stories of how God broke into the world of these Muslims, deep in the heart of the Muslim world, and how He answered their prayers. And so the title, A Wind in the House of Islam, is the working title for this book. And it'll tell the story of how the Holy Spirit is at work drawing Muslims to faith in Jesus Christ all across the Muslim world.
Thank you for visiting with us today, and may the Lord lead you and guide you in finishing that book. I think we will all be encouraged and we will want to look for it. So presumably later this year.
Thank you, Paul.
So there you have it. God is indeed up to something in the Muslim world. It is unprecedented, as you heard today. And it should encourage all of us to pray, to continue to pray for the Muslim world. We at the 30 Days of Prayer for the Muslim World, that has been going for 20 years now, from 1993 to 2013, are so encouraged and grateful that we can play our part in this. Let us pray. Let us support outreach efforts into the Muslim world. Let us reach out to our Muslim neighbors, whether it is across the street or around the world. Let us pray also for those new believers, the Muslim followers of Jesus, because they often pay the price for their stance and their newfound faith. Thank you.
Greetings and blessings and happy Resurrection Day, BBT fam and friends worldwide. I am simply delighted this blessed Resurrection Sunday to discuss with you the good news that Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed, and He is on the move amongst our Muslim friends worldwide. That was David Garrison discussing his book, A Wind in the House of Islam, which has now been published for about 10 years, that explores how God is drawing Muslims around the world to faith in our special Sunday school entitled Go Therefore, with our scripture focused found in the book of Matthew in the 28th chapter. Whoops, let me go back up. Though on this day we celebrate a risen Christ, I contend that the implicit in that miracle is a command that is to get busy and go tell the good news. So, let's take a look at our scripture today. Found a scripture first, and then we're going to take a closer look at our Muslim friends, shall we? Let's do it. Oh, highly favored clicker captain, change that slide. Thank you. Now, if I can keep from jumping around. All right, here we go. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. That, of course, being the Great Commission. It's known as the Great Commission, found at the end of the book of Matthew, verses 19 and 20. They're from the NASB. You know, I believe this should be a Resurrection Sunday verse. Why? Suffice to say that though we celebrate the risen Christ today, he is expecting us. There's work to be done. We're not done yet. There is still work to be done in fulfilling that Great Commission. Amen? Amen. And largely, that is going to be reaching out to the Muslim community. So, who are the Muslims? Who are they? This taken from worldpopulationreview.com. You will see it's rather secular in its outlook, but it's an article entitled Population by Country 2022, so it's very up to date. And it reads, Muslims are followers of the original religion Islam, who believe in and live by the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad. There are more than 2 billion Muslims worldwide, making Islam the second largest religion in the world, exceeded only by Christianity. And then he adds this comment that I left in. In fact, many researchers project that Muslims will outnumber Christians by the year 2050. I was going to take that out, but I left that in. Because, suffice to say, that's their goal. But it should be our goal also, right? To share the good news. So, although Muslims can be found all over the world, the majority live in Northern and Central Africa, the Middle East, and Southeast Asia. Many countries in these regions are more than 90% Muslim, including Egypt, Afghanistan, Syria, Pakistan, Turkey, and Iran. Any country which has more than 50% of the population being Muslim is known as a Muslim majority country, of course. Now, who are they? Muslims are the descendants of Abram, later renamed Abraham. Abram's son Ishmael, born to Hagar, his wife Sarai's, later Sarai's handmaiden. And recall that though Abram was promised by God to be the father of many nations in Genesis 17, at the time the promise was made, and even long after, no kids. Still no kids. So, a childless Sarai thinks, well, I'm just going to help God out, and allows him to have a child by her handmaiden, Hagar. Later kicks her out. You can read all about it. But suffice to say that leading to the chaos we still see play out today in the Middle East is when we try to help God out. Sweden, he doesn't need our help. He doesn't need our help. But, as we shall see, it is an honor that is yet to be had for us to be part of it, to be part of this huge opportunity to help fulfill the Great Commission in our time. But how can we be a part of that? I'm so glad you asked. So, oh, good and faithful clicker person, if you would please change that slide, thank you. Now realize, when we talk about evangelizing Muslims, we're not talking about handing out Bible tracts. I mean, that could be part of it. But we are sometimes talking about risking your life to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And that makes people shy away, I understand. In fact, we know a couple right here in Texas. I cannot divulge their names because they still reach out to Muslims. And we know the husband has spent time in a Sudanese prison for his efforts. Beaten, just like in the, you know, we read about that stuff still happens today. Happening more than you know. And though they're still involved in ministry here in Texas, they must be extremely careful in what remains a largely hostile mission field, to say the least. However, and my clicker keeps jumping around. However, fear not. The Christians comprise just one half of 1% of the population in Islamic countries. Tiny. Regardless, our awesome God is making a way throughout the Muslim world. Indeed, as you've seen in the book that we're talking about. So, what is our takeaway for this wonderful Resurrection Sunday? Simply this, peeps. Oh, anointed clicker person, please, if you would, just one last time, change that slide. Thank you very much. Resurrection Sunday is not about Easter eggs, not about an Easter buffet. I know we normally have a feast. We're not doing it this year. But it should be about, really, at its core, about renewing our commitment to share the good news of Jesus Christ to all the nations. Amen? And God's not waiting on us. He is on the move. He's not sitting around, you know, twiddling his thumbs. When are they going to help me out? No. He is on the move. But there's yet opportunity right here, to be a part of this awesome opportunity. In fact, there is a large mosque that sprang up in Plano across from the Hope Center, where I used to volunteer for Johnny and Friends at their call center. Now you can do it out of your home off your smartphone. But I used to go up to the call center. It was great to, you know, fellowship amongst other people doing the same thing. Of course, if you've seen the Hope Center, been there, that's June Hunt. That's her ministry. She hosts many other Christian ministries, including Johnny and Friends, in that wonderful building. So if nothing else, if we do nothing else, maybe you're like, no, I don't think I really want to go to Afghanistan. I don't know that I would advise that. Many people are still trapped there. And you say, I want to go to the mosque or this or that. I don't know if I want to. I don't think it's safe to hand out Bible tracts. Well, praise God. Peeps, here's something you can do. Nothing else. You can still pray. Look what 30 years of prayer has yielded. He's been doing that for close to 30 years now. And lo and behold, the largest movement of Christianity in this particular population in all of history since the resurrection. Coincidence? I think not. So, go therefore. Go in the name of Jesus. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. and amen.